Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Ghana Connect. Tonight, the young Ghanaian verdict on the 2022 budget. So this week we had a bold declaration from the finance minister, a 1 billion cedi allocation each year to create 1 million jobs, support young entrepreneurs to gain access to capital, training and technical skills and mentoring to enable them launch and operate their own businesses. We are connecting tonight young Ghanaians, employed and unemployed, entrepreneurs and simple job seekers for a verdict on the budget.
An entrepreneurial nation by aggressively implementing programs that empowers the majority of our young people to employ their God-given talents, to take risks and become job creators instead of job seekers. In the pursuit of this objective, we will address the challenges our existing and aspiring entrepreneurs face. These challenges include access to credit and finance, regulatory and tax burdens, lack of skills, as well as mentorship.
So that was the finance minister laying out that ambition to get the young Ghanaian a bit more active, training him, giving him skills so he can create jobs, not only for himself, but for others. And government says you're devoting 1 billion cedi of the taxpayers' funds for this. And in collaboration with the private sector, an additional 3 billion cedi to add to that. We are going to be getting the thoughts of young people who are doing businesses themselves, who are looking for jobs, to give us your verdict on what we had this week. We connect after the break.
Allianz, insurance since 1890. At Allianz Life Ghana, we have a wide range of life insurance packages to suit all pockets, from individuals, groups, associations, and businesses. We cover your employees, your funerals, pensions, children's education, and your future. Call us on 0302-267-892 or visit our website www.allianz-gh.com for more inquiries. Allianz Life. We secure your future.
Wow, wow, wow. Hope you have heard, rent to own now in Ghana. The Flan City Extension Project rent to own land and house ownership scheme by the Ningo Pram Pram District Assembly and its partners, supported by the Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development and the UN Habitat, are right here in Ghana. So be smart, because where you trade and live really matters. Apply now and own a home or a fully serviced land. Wait a minute, don't forget to join our affiliate housing cooperatives also. Special offers last up to October 31st, 2021. Call us on 055-55-3300 or 0577-911101 and 055-7054-635. Website newaccra.city. Plant City Extension Projects, shaping Ghana's urban future.
Thank you.
You're live on Ghana Connect. My name is Evans Mensah, and this, of course, is Joy 99.7 FM. So this week, the finance minister announced a juicy package for the youth. 1 billion cedis each year to create 1 million jobs, and in partnership with the finance institutions and development partners, raise another 2 billion cedis. In addition, the finance minister said our local banks have also agreed to a package that will result in increasing their SME portfolio up to 5 billion over the next 3 years. They called it the U Start Initiative, a vehicle to support young entrepreneurs to gain access to capital, training, technical skills, and mentoring to enable them launch and operate their own businesses. Listen to the finance minister, Ken Oforiatta.
We continue to have a huge number of our young people without jobs. Mr. Speaker, this budget is redefining our development paradigm by focusing on the private sector, particularly on entrepreneurship development. We will build an entrepreneurial nation by aggressively implementing programs that empowers the majority of our young people to employ their God-given talents, to take risks and become job creators instead of job seekers. In the pursuit of this objective, we will address the challenges our existing and aspiring entrepreneurs face. These challenges include access to credit and finance, regulatory and tax burdens, lack of skills, as well as mentorship. We will do this whilst intensifying our efforts to support the private sector to expand and create jobs. Mr. Speaker, this understanding of the youth employment challenge, as well as extensive consultations of stakeholders, including youth associations and educational institutions across the country, have led to the development of what we call the Youth Start Initiative. In addition, Mr. Speaker, our local banks have agreed to a package that will result in increasing their SME portfolio up to 5 billion Ghana cedis over the next 3 years.
So that's a lot of bold talk. Bold talk, you know, designed to win the hearts and minds of the young Ghanaian. And he starts this by laying out the number of young people in the country. Overwhelming majority of this country, almost more than 60% of it, are young, between ages lower than 18 and between the ages of, 20 and 35. And so that's where the population really sits. And he was talking a lot about huge amounts of money. So in total, what they presented, the budget amounts to 10 billion cedi that they are putting aside. Apart from the 1 billion that the government itself is setting aside each year, they are also, as he announced, doing a lot of things with private sector banks to also raise the capital for the young people. And so, really, what's the verdict from the young people on what they had in the budget? Did they meet the expectations? And how realistic is it? There's a talk, and then there's a reality. We'll try and see how we bridge that from hearing from the people who are actually going to be affected by the announcement that was made today. And connected with me in the studio, we have Giles Ometepe. He's a co-founder and senior partner for policy and institutional relations at Ghana for Startups. And indeed, he recently became the first African to be elected onto the board of Brussels-based Allied for Startups. I'm grateful, Giles, for joining us. And indeed, you know, good to have you. You have a lot of experience in this area, so I'm looking forward to hearing what your thoughts are on what the finance minister just told us. Adepa Danso, CEO of Nova Advertising Agency. Adepa has recently received funding to support her business. True, Adepa? I'm told you got funding. Okay, was it after you came to Ghana Connect or before you came to Ghana Connect? Which was it? Before you came, okay, you didn't tell me that. You didn't tell me that you have funding. So I'll come for, I'll come for a loan, or I'll probably write to you for employment.
We'll see what will happen.
Let's get the microphones working for them. Joining me, connecting with us in the studio is Sherpet. He is one of the few top tech bloggers in Ghana. He also helps businesses acquire customers through search engines and other online channels, and runs an online shop on Infidi.com. Is that what they call Infidi.com? Infidi. Okay. Here we go. Infide.com. Okay, great. So he's an entrepreneur in the tech space. So I'm actually curious to hear your thoughts on the e-levy then, because that's something that would fall right in your domain. We'll talk about that very shortly. Seram is a team leader at Quidex Incorporated and a fintech, and joins us via Zoom. Hello, Seram. Hello, Seram. Can you hear me? If you can, just unmute yourself and say hello. Also connecting via Zoom is Zoila, CEO of Developer, an IT auditing company. She was with us a couple of weeks back. Hello, Zoila. Hello? Okay, let's see if we can unmute yourself so we can hear you both, Zoila and also Seram. Let me start by asking a very simple question. Girls, let me start with you first.
Sure.
Did you listen to the budget? Did you pay attention to it?
I paid attention to what matters to us.
Okay, I mean, this is the budget, I mean. Did you like...
Yes.
Be honest with me. I mean,
yes. I paid attention to what matters to us in the sense that what we're going to have...
Okay, that's when you were listening to the budget.
Yes.
You were listening to...
You know, what's
in it for me?
Development, exactly.
Okay, so you were like, okay, I'm going to listen, but I'm going to listen for what's in it for me.
Exactly.
Okay, good. Let me come to you, Adepa.
Yeah.
Did you listen to the budget? Be honest, if you didn't, fine.
I just listened to the SFs because I realized that something was trending on Twitter, so I had to pay attention, and then I saw the excerpt on the Ustart initiative.
Oh, you saw the excerpt on the Ustart. So you didn't set out to listen to it, okay.
No.
But I'm curious, though. I'm curious why. I mean, was it that you were too busy, you couldn't be bothered, or... Because this is like the thing that affects for the next 1 year. This is just out of curiosity, okay? Because maybe if I was not doing this job, I'd probably be like, yeah, I'll just go about my job. But what was it that didn't really, like, you knew the budget was going to come, but...
Busy, yes, but another part also is that you always listen to these lengthy talks and you're always looking for the trickle-down effect and how it's going to impact you directly, because whatever decision they take at the end of the day, you can hardly do anything about it anyway. So let me just say it's little bit of dying interest.
That is what I was trying to probe, what it was that, so, but we'll come to that. There's something more there to try and talk about. We'll come to that. Now let me ask you to the man who knows the IT space better than most, Shepherd, what about you? Did you set out to listen? Be honest with me.
I actually wanted to listen, but I didn't come on the time it was supposed to, so I got caught up in some other stuff, and then in the evening I had to catch up.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. Be honest again. You do catch up because, okay, that time you didn't know you were going to come on Ghana Connect, right?
No.
Okay. So you did it because, what made you go back to
work? I did because someone actually sent me a question on WhatsApp asking, this new e-levy, is it going to affect this? And I was like, what's this about? So I had to go back and read everything, see the reason for it, and how far reaching it is, and everything also. That really piqued my interest into it.
Okay, so the e-levy, that's what piqued your interest.
Yeah.
So without that question, you probably would have just gone on your life without caring a hoot about the budget.
Yeah, I would probably just be concerned about the digitalization part.
That's it. Okay, interesting thoughts. Seram, are you with me? Seram is joining us, connecting via Zoom. Hello, Seram. Seram should be on Zoom. Please unmute for me if you're there. Okay. Seram, I can hear you. Let me see if I can bring in Zoila. Hello, Zoila. Okay, both of them, I can't hear them. Let's make sure they're on it. They can hear me and they can talk back so we can also hear them. Let me come to the studio then. So I just laid out the Ustart initiative. First of all, let me just get your general thoughts on this. You are into startups. You know, you are the man who celebrated internationally for the work you're doing in that space. What do you make of it as a young person? You're an entrepreneur, correct?
If yes.
Okay.
If I wasn't an entrepreneur, I would have been jumping. If I was an entrepreneur and I had no interest in innovation policy, I would still be jumping. But one thing that interest in innovation policy has taught me is that there's a huge gap between our promises and what states actors set out to do, and what actually we feel on the ground. And most of the times when I'm thinking about our ecosystem, I do so from a diverse angle, because I compare ours to maybe our neighbors in Nigeria, to colleagues in France and colleagues in Kenya and Rwanda. And when you look at how government in those countries, whether voluntarily or involuntarily or directly or indirectly, are pushing for the growth of their ecosystem, you tell yourself you can do better in Ghana. So, yes, it's an amazing thing, but at the same time, you ask yourself, in the mid-year review budget just a couple of months ago, we also had similar promises regarding empowering the young people, making sure that...
In fact, there was this thing they called U-Bank.
Exactly.
That was very similar.
Exactly.
And then now the U start.
So, till now, I have not seen any report on that. I don't know if there are any out there. If there are, what is the outcome of the implementation of that? Was it even implemented in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Who are the beneficiaries? Who can come out and say A, B, C, and D worked out for me? So when you look at all that, sometimes, just like the way I depassed it, it becomes more like talks. And at the end of the talk, no action. And that's unfortunate.
Okay. So let's be clear. You, in fact, when it comes to startups, you are in that space. Specifically, which industry are you in?
So my focus is on innovation policy.
Okay.
Right?
And you help startups?
So our focus initially was on training, just like many others, but we are restructuring to focus on research and policy, because in our ecosystem, that's one of the things that ecosystem support organizations haven't really been paying attention to. So we are looking at that angle more. And like I said earlier, there is our positioning as a country or as a startup nation, as we will say in the ecosystem, could be better.
Okay, so what you do in essence is, if somebody like Adipa wants to, you know, go into startup, you provide them with the research they need? And
oh, yes,
is that, we do.
Okay. We connect them to opportunities, we connect them to knowledge, we connect them to mentoring opportunities, and most organizations also try to work on the internationalization of the ecosystem. So Ghanaian startups go in and acquire, you know, maybe a startup in Nigeria, even though we are still...
Does that even happen? You have an example of that? I'll be very excited if there's an example of a Ghanaian startup acquiring...
M-Pharma is expanding currently, I'm sure, in the Eastern Africa. So I know they did some...
M-Pharma is who, by the way?
Is it Ghanaian? Gregory Roxton.
Okay.
So it's a Ghanaian.
It's a Ghanaian. Okay. And they are actually going to acquire somebody else in the continent.
So I will call it more expansion than acquisition, because they are, you know. But what we are seeing more often is the other way around.
Okay. Startups elsewhere coming to Ghana too.
Exactly. So the latest news in the ecosystem is the acquisition of Starbus by what was then called Plenty Waka, but now the rebranding has led them to be called Trips, which is a Nigerian mobility firm. So it's...
Okay. Interesting. So for you, with all the background you have, you say you listen to the U start and it doesn't excite you?
It doesn't.
Okay.
Because of the track record of government. You see, the concern is not about how juicy the promise is. The concern is about, will it be implemented? Will we see results? And some time ago, in a conversation with some colleagues in the ecosystem, we were talking about the 2016 manifesto of the MPP. And at the end of the conversation, we all agreed that if the MPP had implemented every single thing they promised in the 2016 manifesto, I don't think we would have needed a 2020 manifesto.
Okay. Interesting. Pause for Adipa. So what's your reaction to that part of the budget that targeted yourself, an entrepreneur?
Well, I, like I said before, I already have like a dying interest in these kinds of budgets, because at the end of the day, it's so many initiatives and we never finish the ones we start. So I've been asking myself, the National Entrepreneurship and Innovation Program, which government started some time ago, where they were giving funds to entrepreneurs to start a business, why don't we why don't we continue with that one? Make it better, expand the opportunities. Why do we have to start another initiative? So it's always a fancy initiative with a fancy name, but you never see the trickle-down effect, or you never feel the impact of these initiatives. And you read in there that they are tax incentives, but they forget that the taxes outside, for example, my business, if I'm a startup and I'm not paying taxes, let's say in my first year or in my first 2 years, there are other things that are being taxed that would definitely directly impact my business. I have to buy data because I'm managing social media accounts of clients. You have utility bills to pay, rent. All of these things are things that you can't totally isolate. So it's okay to throw in the youth's faces that we are working. There's money for this, there's money for that. You ask a good question. They said there's a youth bank. Where is the youth bank? We don't see these things. And all the time, there's always a fancy name and some long speech, and you never see the impact. If there's impact, well, then we are not releasing it, or they are not marketing it properly.
Shepherd.
Yeah, so when it comes to the U-Start initiative, I think the idea behind it, what we heard from the finance minister, is really good. It sounds good, okay? But then, like everyone else has said, we don't even have a lot of information on this. Some amounts of money have been stated to start the project. We don't know who qualifies. And it seems like it's more of a manifesto, okay, just another manifesto promise, and then we are going to look for a way to implement it. Meanwhile, for people who are back home, people who are not having jobs right now, it's a reality that there is no job and there is no money, and something needs to be done as soon as possible to get them to work right. So if we say we are giving them the skills, and there have been past programs that have aimed at giving them these skills, but then the problem still persists. Is it really about bringing out new programs from government, or is it about going back to look at the old program, seeing what went wrong, making them better? Because every new program would also come with new infrastructure and new challenges. So can we not go back and solve the problems that were with the older ones and then make them better, rather than maybe pushing up something new and being happy with a new name and making a lot of noise about it when
Breakdown that the finance minister gave on this. I want to just share it and see if that makes a difference. So he says that the U-Start will provide our youth with the following: one, training, skills development, entrepreneurial support, and business advisory services; funding, access to competitive credit and starter packs; and then there's enterprise promotion, mentoring, and access to markets, including portals to facilitate digital linkages between youth-led enterprises and other businesses and relevant government agencies. Now, it also goes to talk about the U-Star will support youth-led enterprises with the following products. So, district-level loans.
Hello, Evans.
Yes, I can hear you. I'll come to you shortly. It talks about district-level loans under 10,000 cedis after 2 to 3 months of training. So they train you for 2 to 3 months and they give you 10,000 cedis. That is at a district level loan. These are loans you pay back. Then there are soft loans of up to 50,000 cedis to help startups, in particular by young graduates and school leavers and small businesses to expand. And then there is starter packs. This is soft loans tied to equipment acquisition of up to 50,000 cedis for individuals and 100,000 for associations and groups. And then there's a standardized loan package of between 100,000 cedis to 400,000 at concessional rates for SMEs through financial institutions. So that is the breakdown. Chew on this. I'll come back to you for what your thoughts on that. Let me go back onto Zoom and talk to our connectors there. Zoila, do I have you? Okay. Let's bring in Seram. Hello, Seram. Hello, Seram.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Seram. So quickly, Seram, okay, what's your own take on the U-Start? You are a team lead at Credex, a fintech.
Yes.
And so give me your own, from that background, share your thoughts on that for me.
Yeah, so to be honest, I was a bit surprised because about 2 weeks ago, I was on another panel just like this, and my take was that I wasn't expecting anything from the government. To my surprise, there's this package that the government wants to do. It's a billion CDs. I think it's a good start, even though it has a few things. Like, there are a few things that I wish we could really look out for. But generally, it's a good initiative. I mean, just the idea. But of course, one of the panelists mentioned that it's the implementation that counts and the execution that counts. And so let's look forward to see how that actually works.
Okay. Adepa, so you had a breakdown.
Yeah.
You say you I'm told you got funding, right?
Yeah.
Funding from where? Bang?
No, it's Tony Elumelu Foundation. He's actually the president of UBA.
Okay.
Yeah, so every year he does is that he rolls out an entrepreneurship program in Africa, and you go through an application process. When you're selected, it takes about 12 weeks of training, and you go through coaching, mentorship, and how to put together your business summary and a whole lot of things before you pitch. And then when you're selected, you're given funding to start your business, and it's non-refundable. And yeah, that's
so this is like a grant. They just give it to you and you use it for something. Yeah. You're not supposed to pay back, it's not a loan.
But then what they do is that the networking helps to put you in groups where there's still a checkup on you. So when you're done with the class or with the mentorship or training program, you're introduced to a new network where you have access to other alumni who have benefited from the program. So there's still that connect afterwards, yeah.
So I read the details. Mm-hmm. Did anything strike you? Because it sounds like pretty similar to what you went through with the...
I don't have a problem with the idea, because it's a brilliant one. I mean, it shows that we have people in government that know what they're about. But the question is that why are we starting so many initiatives when we have not completed the others? The NEIP program can still absorb this particular idea. The only thing is that whatever you want to do when you start, do it with the NEIP. You don't have to create a whole new initiative. Like he said, it comes with challenges and its own structures and all of that. So for me, I think that we just have to get rid of the excitement we have with coming up with new names, new projects, when we have not even exhausted the ones that we have. It's the same thing that we do in Ghana with our infrastructure, where we start something and then we don't complete it, and then we are excited about another project. And that lack of continuity will definitely affect us. Even if we don't see it now, it's always going to affect us, because we have to raise funds to do a new thing when we can expand and work on the ones that we already have. For me, I think USTART is just a duplication of the NEIP program. So they should just carry that initiative expand.
So also in the budget, the finance minister explained that the Ghana Enterprise Agency, that's a GEA, the National Entrepreneurial Innovation Program, which is, I guess, is what you mentioned, and the partner financial institutions will serve as the implementing arms of USTART. Does that address your concern?
Well,
it does.
It does for me.
I was actually getting to that you know, the implementing agencies are already functioning. Mm-hmm. And throughout the COVID period, when we are at the height of it, the work that the NBSSI, now GEA, did was amazing, with a focus on SMEs. But another thing that I think we need to get clear in Ghana is that SMEs are not startups. Startups are tech-enabled enterprises. SMEs are just small and medium enterprises, right? So we cannot put all of them in the same box, because anything that has to do with digital will affect a startup more than it will affect a normal SME, typically, because we are buying data, because we are dealing with people's privacy.
Our department mentions data as one of the key things she has to do with.
The dynamics have to be different. You cannot put all of them in the same box. So when you are actually even drafting policies, you draft policies based on the identity or the segmentation that you have done of your enterprise ecosystem. So when you are thinking about taxing mobile money, for example, of course, it's going to affect everybody. But in the long run, beyond the transaction being even taxed, the fact that a tech-enabled startup or enterprise needs to fix in the API of the mobile money into their system so that they can use it as a payment platform because they cannot necessarily create a new one altogether. That's going to be extra cost for them because it's more expensive now to be using the mobile money. So the dynamics are many, and sometimes I feel government want to do good, which is obviously what every government wants to do, but we do not pay attention to the little things that affect people in the long run. So I think, we are actually looking forward to see how the implementation is going to go. Ghana Tech Lab is doing an amazing work, but just like many other government agencies that operate in our ecosystem, the bulk of their funding is private. If it's not coming from MasterCard Foundation, it's coming from the World Bank. But how much of that? And you can see that's even why some of them are still sustainable, because the ones that government is fully funding, where are they?
Okay, so that's an interesting point. I mean, Seram, you work with critics. Will you be attempting to apply for this $1 billion that the government is talking about for your business?
No. I wouldn't do that. The monies are so small. Looking at the breakdown, 10,000 CDs, 50,000 CDs, 100,000 to 400,000. You see, girls on the panel will know that if you want to build a proper sustainable startup, you need more than this. Okay.
Exactly.
And there's this illusion that you could start with as little as you want. See, I'm a living testimony to that because when I started, I got $10,000. Now, $10,000 sounds like a lot of money.
I mean, you started with $10,000.
Within a year.
Seram, yes, you started with $10,000. Okay. How long ago was this?
Yes, $10,000. So this was in 2018. Okay. 2018, $10,000. All right. And with that $10,000, I had a runway of just 1 year. And even with that, I really had to squeeze myself and the team to make sure that we become revenue positive in the very short period. Okay. And so that's what happened. And one of the major learnings I've realized is you need money to run businesses. You need money, proper money, not 10,000 CDs. I mean, my entity has financed by 100 agribusinesses to a tune of close to $1 million. And this 10,000 CD thing, we give it to the people that have like very, very, very small firms. You get it. So if they're serious about it, I think they should relook at the calibration. Okay. And give proper money. But I mean, Quidex wouldn't be applying for this. I mean, if it stays like this, no. We'd rather speak to proper venture capitalists, proper institutional investors, and get a much better deal. Okay, so yeah, that's my
Shepherd. Take on that.
Yeah, so I agree very, very much with what Seram has said and what Gilles has also said. So, and it goes back to how the government is defining the beneficiaries. Are they startups or SMEs? Because SMEs are like, if I'm selling clothes that I'm buying, if I'm retailing and I'm selling on Instagram, that's fine, right? 10,000 CDs is something. But if you're running a tech startup, then you know 10,000 CDs is very small and minute. It can't do much in a tech startup. So government, and I know this government is looking very much at digitalization. So I'm thinking that when they are saying startups, they are probably looking at how they can get more tech-enabled startups. And the monies that they are talking about is very small for tech startups. On the other hand, for SMEs, this might be good. Okay, this might be good. 10,000, 50,000 for SMEs, very good, right?
But so in fact, for the SMEs, through financial institutions, a standardized loan package of between 100 and 400 for SMEs at concessional rates. And then startup packs, soft loans tied to equipment acquisition up to 50,000 CDs. For individuals, and then 100,000 for associations and groups, and then sub loans of up to 50,000 to help startups. And I guess that's where you guys are talking about the startups, 50,000 CDs, in particular by young graduates and school leavers and small businesses to expand. So you must have already started something, and then you want to expand. For those who want to start, That's the district level loans. That is under 10,000 CDs after 2 to 3 months of training.
So sometimes when startups are being bought out, right, if they have been acquired, and we hear figures like 18 million, people feel it's a lot of money. Operations in a growing startup, maybe probably you've raised Series A already, you are talking about the tens of thousands of dollars, operations alone.
Mm.
And whilst you are growing, you need to bring new tech talent. And they are more and more expensive. When someone is trained at Cambridge, he has maybe his master's in computer science or in AI. You cannot be paying him 5,000 cedis. But that's the guy you need because he knows how to run the system for you. That will be European standards. So the dynamics are many, but I'm happy that there is a focus on education. So recently, one of the things that we are seeing happening is that even public universities are structuring themselves to come up with entrepreneurial-focused programs. So the University of Ghana launched its own a couple of months ago. UPSO also did same. So, and we are seeing the collaboration between industry and academia at that level, which is very good because even the training at the university level has to change. We cannot be churning out future professors. Someone was joking on Twitter a couple of hours ago that when Davido asked for the money, did they see any professor sending him money? Just to say, they don't make it that much. Mm. So we need to create, or we need to train people who will come out, build businesses that can challenge Facebook. If not, what we'll keep seeing is that
like in Ghana here.
Hopefully.
It's possible.
Okay. It's possible.
So that's why you're saying that these amounts... Let me ask that. Adepa, you've already started, okay?
Yeah.
So would you be applying to expand?
I'd probably go for more international funding for my business. And just to say, or to add up to what he was saying, when I started, I thought 20,000 CDs was like a huge sum of money until that budget was just for photo shoots.
You're kidding me.
I'm telling you. And you break it down, and what you would even get from that budget is nothing because it's all operations. The data you use to manage the client's accounts, the rentals of equipment is crazy. And so for most people, they think that, oh, for a business, if you get 2,000 CDs or 5,000 CDs, it's good money.
That's interesting. You know what I'm thinking? You know the buying and selling mentality, the trader at Mokola mentality, you know, you can start with some 5,000 CDs.
No, it doesn't work like that.
Sorry, I want to hear Adepa land, then I'll come back to it.
So, for me, I think that, like they said, there has to be more research into who needs what. Because if you don't do the need analysis and you just throw the opportunities out there, it will just find those who are not supposed to be found. And I think another thing also is that we have realized that the economy we are approaching or we are in is a skilled one. If you don't have skills, you can't survive. And so there has to be a reevaluation of our GES system, not just in the tertiary institutions, but making it more attractive, even at the lower levels, because everybody wants to get a degree. And you realize degrees don't pay, right? Right after service, you're looking for a job and like 10,000 people are applying for the same job you're applying for. So for me, if government wants to solve a problem now, they should not neglect the origin of the problem. They should go back, even as they are providing intermittent solutions right now, they should go back to the origins and then solve our education problem, make it relevant to the economy we are approaching. Because really, certain things you're learning in school, I always tell people that ask me certain questions about my business that there are so many things I have to learn. It's like street sense or business street sense that you have to learn. It's not what you learned in school. There's nothing you learned in school that's applicable now, because there's so many things you now have to relearn and even unlearn. So they have to make our education system relevant and attractive, even as they are given.
Let me get an idea. So for your business, if you want to expand, you want to grow, do you employ anybody now?
But we are just... Three,
okay. Yeah. But three is not just, though. It's a lot.
It's a lot. Let me just say, it's not like formal employment. It's like we're being hopeful. Cause
yeah, as and when.
I'm not put on salary right now because my business can't afford to pay me at the moment.
Okay.
You get it. So some sacrifices you have to make because very soon, you can't always be having meetings at Vida Cafe or at the mall. You have to get an office.
So what you're saying is you need an injection of some capital so you can move to the next level.
Yes.
The question I was going to ask you is that, I mean, also now that we know what the government plan is, how much would you need to move to the next level?
Between 100 to 200,000 Ghana cedis right now.
Between 100? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not what they're providing here.
Oh, but...
Because here's the thing, right? They said... So just a second. So 100 and 200,000 cedis, you said, right? So you have here a standardized loan package of between 100 and 400 at concessional rates for SMEs through financial institutions. So that's it right there.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Answer that and I'll come to Shepherd.
Okay, so that's it right there. We're in this country when we saw that even the processes to gain scholarship that is accessible, right? For me, it's just the means to get even that funding.
So you don't trust?
Oh, no, because we've seen it before. I don't know if I'm just... The apathy is growing because of government.
So you feel that you... If you apply for it, you won't get it. Is that what it is? Or you don't trust that the money is there, or you don't. What is it?
I just don't have trust in
the system. Shepherd, yeah. When I ask that question,
Let's analyze this, okay? So we don't know how many people are going to get 100,000 to 200,000, okay? Mm. But let's say we want to get a lot more people in business. So a quick focus into SMEs, not startups, but maybe small businesses that the SBSSI and or GE has been working with for some time, okay? So let's say you're giving them, for them it's less than 10,000, okay? And it's even a loan, so they would pay some form of interest on it. So you're giving them 10,000 CDs. Most of these people do e-commerce, and now you're taxing mobile money, right? So for every money that they earn or they're receiving or they're transacting with, they are going to pay 1.75%. Exactly. They are going to pay 1.75%, right? Some of these people buy from overseas, and we find the dollar rate skyrocketing.
Yeah, of course.
Every now and then, so you have dollar rates hitting against you. Now, the mobile money ventures that I used to get people to pay is also being taxed heavily. 1.75 is actually very heavy on each transaction, especially when there is no cap on it. So these businesses are going to take these loans. That's what I foresee. They are going to take these loans. They will try and try and try, and at the end they will use it to feed themselves instead of doing business with
putting in the business. Yes. Okay. Yes, I see.
And this for the small money. So imagine the huge money with startups who are buying things like servers online, paying in dollars every day. I think we should look more at making the environment very enabling for businesses rather than making it difficult for us to run businesses and then giving us money to use.
Let me ask, will you be applying?
No, I don't have plans of applying.
Why?
Now.
Why?
I actually don't know the details to apply. I need to know how much I stand to get.
You've
given me the figures, but I don't know the interest on the loans, Evans. I don't know how.
It's a concessionary rate, so it can be lower than what everybody else will be getting.
Yeah, but if it's lower than an inflation is,
chopping it.
If I should take the loan, and within 1 year, the loan has devalued so much, but I'll still be paying on.
But it's better than nothing, right? I mean, so what would you do instead? If not this, what else?
So if not taking this money, I'll look for other international
investors
that won't make it a loan for mine, and it will come in US dollars. So when I change.
On that note, let me go back to Seram. Seram, you're with me, right? Hello, Seram. Seram. Oh, a tragedy. Let's see if we can get Seram back, because he got the dollars at the start. I want to quite find out where did he get the funding from, and how much of a difference did that make for him? Yes, Gils.
Evans, let me just bring forth a scenario. Most of the international investors that come, they come for equity, right? Or if you are lucky, you meet an angel investor. Mm-hmm. You know, just like Tony, that will give you a grant. But this is a loan. And to be frank with you, startups don't like loans. Startups are not SMEs. Startups don't like loans. That's why they'll prefer giving out 1%, 2%, 10% of their equity in exchange of cash so that they can run operations, recruit new talent, set up offices, or expand to other markets that are promising than going for a loan in a bank like in Ghana. So government needs to understand who they are dealing with. They are these are not the ladies. I'm not downplaying our ladies, our mothers in Makola, but these are not our mothers in Makola. When you are saying startups, these are people who think totally differently. So you have to address them the way they think. All right? I am happy that government is trying to do this. It just like at the past, it shows that people in there are understanding that the world is changing. There is this interesting story about Tesla and the Obama administration. So the Obama administration actually gave money to Tesla to expand. But the bargain was quite a funny one because they were supposed to pay if they had run at a loss. If they had succeeded, they didn't need to pay. And they succeeded. So they didn't need to pay back the government.
So that's an incentive to make sure you succeed.
Exactly.
Because if you fail, you pay.
These are the kind of things that we need to have government thinking about.
That's a very, very interesting way of looking at it. So Shepherd talks about how people will take their money and then probably spend it on themselves. But if they know, because if you spend it alone, they'll chase you, right? But if they know if you take the money and you succeed at it, keep it, and you keep all the profit. But if you fail, you pay back. That's the thing that will push him to sort of succeed.
There is a need for us to rethink.
But government can't afford, you know. That government can't afford to just give that money.
Need to do a one-fits-all approach.
Okay, so you look at, you know,
specific industry-based or sector-based. When you see growth, right? So right now, the entire conversation in the ecosystem is about renewables. When it comes to energy, it's about fintech. And, you know, Quidus is one of the startups that I have the opportunity to mentor as part of the MES program. And it is quite interesting that when you interact, so I have the hard opportunity to mentor startup Ghana Tech Lab, MES, UNICEF Lab. When you interact with our startups in Ghana and you see how they are thinking, their product to market fit approach, their solution to problems approach, we are not far from the startups in the U.S.
So what is the difference? What's the difference from the way...
The support,
okay.
The structure, right? It is still, up till now, it's still very difficult for you to register a business in one day in Ghana. Rwanda, just at the other side of town, you can be in China, register your business in Rwanda without setting foot in Rwanda. Is it possible to do the same thing in Ghana? No.
I mean, Adepaso... there's a part of this that you say you spent almost, well, the 20,000 CD, a lot of it went into just photo shoot,
yes.
Right? So you need equipment because you're hiring equipment.
Yes.
So listen to this part of the thing that the fund announced yesterday. Soft loans of up to 50,000, right? To help startups, in particular young, startup packs, soft loans tied to equipment acquisition, okay? of up to 50,000 for individuals. Does that convince you to?
I mean, it's a good initiative. Like I said,
it's just lack of faith in it.
I don't have faith in it,
okay.
Actually, because and like he was saying, there's just what is the structure to qualifying for these things,
yeah.
Right? Because we've seen so many times how they say there's funding for this, the scholarship for that, there's this for that, but the structure in qualifying or in applying for these things is so tedious, you get fed up. And
okay.
time is going, and you have to pay your employees, you have to pay utility bills, all of these things are happening. So the best you can do is to strategic partnerships.
Let me ask you another question. So I hear all of you say, in essence, the way government will run this might make it even more frustrating. And because of that frustration, you are actually willing to just let it go, just forget about it and go and look at it elsewhere. Now, the fact that the Ghana Enterprises Agency, the NYNEIP, and the partner financial institutions are the implementers, does that give any confidence at all? Does that change anything?
I think yeah, there is a bit of confidence there. For example, the GEA, I think it was last year that they were NBSSI, right? And they really did a lot to support a lot of businesses, right? There is a lot of faith for me in them, right? But again, it comes down to those that we are targeting. How segmented are they? Because did we speak to these people before bringing all these things? Like, did we speak to the unemployed?
Okay.
Did we speak to the startups to find out exactly what they need? Because startups needs, you might sit somewhere and think it's this and that, but it could be very simple things you can.
Let me ask you. All of you agree that you'd rather probably hedge your bet around getting somebody foreign to give you some significant amount. What is it about that attracts you so much? And how easy it is to get? Isn't it the long shot for a young Ghanaian at the path to actually hope and actually get that sort of funding?
The structure, right? There's a clear criteria for you to follow. For example, with the grant that I got, the structure was clear. It was so standardized that you just couldn't get lost in all of that. It was clear that there's accountability, and you already knew that you had to go through classes, right?
But this is a Nigerian thing.
Yes, exactly. So it's really, I don't know if it's.
But also because it's the private sector that was doing, that's why it was.
Also, because he also has partners he's accountable to. And there was some form of deliberate attempt to even cater for minorities, like making sure that, I think this year, about 68%, I'm not really sure, but it's in the 60s, 68% of the people that received the grants were women. And so, depending on the partnerships, the need analysis was done to still cater for the minorities, even in the bigger problems.
Would you trust the Ghanaian financial sector, so say the banks, etc., to lead this? If they were leading this, and government has said that they are in talks with the financial institutions who also gave, I think, three billion CDs to this. If they were leading this, would you be comfortable doing this with them? Let me hear what others are saying on social media. I'll come to that to wrap up with you in the studio. Yes, Kweku, what are people sharing in us on social media?
Evans, some are thinking that this package that government is going to give out is something they're going to give out to party members. Party members will be considered first before other people with regard to this amount of money. It says, Ben from Dokolame says, it's a good idea for the government to support our young entrepreneurs in Ghana in order to create more jobs for the unemployed youth. I'll be grateful if the policy comes to reality, and we pray that it's not just something they are saying. A number of them also from Facebook also coming in. This one says, Evans, I'm sure they must go further and consult further with youth who are already in entrepreneurship. This one says, I just hope this is not a scam that will be allocated for party faithfuls only. And then Francis Owusu says, Yao Shepherd, Yao Moti, great point. Let it work and find solutions to the challenges that will emerge later on. So these are some of the messages coming from our WhatsApp as well as our Facebook console.
Okay, so let's end with that. I mean, should government just simply hand this over to the private sector to run? And if that happens, would you all feel comfortable working with them? Very briefly, Shepherd?
I think whoever government gives it to, the implementing partners, these ones have good track records, right?
Okay, so the existing ones, yeah, you trust them?
Yeah, but if they
but you say you still won't go?
Yeah, they should change it from a loan to an equity for startups. That way, we know that, okay, if you don't support us and we fail, your money is burning. But if you give us an enabling environment, we'll start.
Are you saying government should take up that equity?
There can be various ways.
Let's looking at it. Very interesting point. Okay, I mean, Gilles,
just
very briefly
from there could be a way to structure things in such a way that government takes it without taking it, which is that there's a parastate organization that will come into the picture.
Okay,
maybe GEA could be empowered to take on that and have an investment arm as a state. We need to start looking into that aspect of our economy. How can we, empower
organization like the GA and NEIP, because the number of ideas and brilliant products that startups are creating in this country. And
Adepa is an example there,
exactly,
right?
Pitched to a
foreigner, and the foreigner found the need to give him that. So it's the evidence is there, right? It's there for everybody to see. Adepa, yeah, would that help you? Would that make it more comfortable?
I think a collaboration or a partnership would be best, and there should be accountability and transparency throughout. Because even if we're thinking it's going to go to party members, right? And it's not surprising. So for me, I don't think Ghanaians doubt the idea or the intention. It's just, will it benefit? Will it trickle down? Because all the time we hear the money, we hear the ideas, we don't feel it in the country. So for me, as long as there's a collaboration, there's transparency, there's accountability, which we are always hammering on, I think it may work.
Okay.
And hopefully I may apply.
Hopefully. Okay, I hear that. I mean, so from the beginning to the end, you've made the whole 360.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that's an interesting point. I hope government has listened and they've taken some thoughts on how to make this work. I'm grateful, gentlemen. Thanks for connecting.